I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to examine the term masculinity and if cultural concepts of manliness like strength, virility, courage, and stoicism, pride and assertiveness in the present day deserve to be labeled toxic. Thank you for joining us. You know, the evolution of the role of men throughout history has been extraordinary. History tells us stories of leaders like Achilles, King Leonidas, Andreas Iloma, and Peter the Great. Men whose work was not always good for all mankind, but who rarely failed at their goals and usually commanded the actions of thousands. But how would the leaders of today stack up? Will history speak the same of the great power of Justin Trudeau, the commanding presence of Emmanuel Macron, or the incredible intelligence and wisdom of Joe Biden? Now, it's no secret, pop culture and media can influence our lives, interests, and even personalities. But is today's culture leading to the extinction of the stereotypical male? Well, we're gonna ask our international correspondent, Roxana Solano.
The debate across the globe, are we destroying masculinity or freeing it? Well, China's education ministry is saying that boys are not all right. They're calling the young male population in China a masculinity crisis. A top delegate in China made a statement saying the popularity of pretty boys in pop culture had made boys weak, inferior, and timid. China's education ministry has made a plan to ramp up physical education classes and hire more male teachers to give boys a masculine influence in schools. Some teachers are pushing back, saying this could cause problems and lead others to tease boys who do not conform to gender stereotypes. Educators cannot call for the prevention of bullying in schools while nurturing the soil for bullying in schools. But it is not just China who is at the odds with the role of men in society. In Britain, one right-wing journalist believes that emasculated manhood of the West has led to the rise of people seeking more conservative leaderships. We saw the rise of leaders like Boris Johnson and Liz Truss as Conservative Party leader and prime minister. Celebrities are blurring the lines of masculine and feminine dresses, for example, as men are now showing up in gowns on magazine covers and on red carpets. Back east, China is starting to censor television that shows male pop stars as too feminine. China also is trying to toughen up their high school boys in hopes of inspiring a new generation of soldiers, for their fear that boys born under the One China policy have been spoiled and will not protect them in an invasion. But in the United States, school sports are becoming a battleground between boys and girls. From high school track field to college swim meets, biological men are playing in girls' sports and breaking female records across the board. This has led to multiple lawsuits saying they were given an unfair advantage being born male. The lines of male and female are seeming to blur in pop culture and everyday lives around the world, as Hollywood and schools try to find a place for representation of all these new identities, the woke culture is firing back at anything they see as a misstep. However, the hypocrisy of it all is saddening. What is, as we are freeing the idea of masculinity, we're losing our female identity and taking away the chance for women to thrive and succeed. For 360 View, I'm Roxana Solan.
To discuss, we are now joined by life coach and commentator Elliot Hulse. Welcome to the show, Elliot. Let's start off things simple, plain. In your opinion, is there any legitimacy to the claim there is a war on masculinity in our society?
Well, I would open by saying that there seems to be a war on gender. And so both men and women are being fed lots of very erroneous ideas about what it means to be a man and a woman. And it almost seems as if we're being swapped in a way. And so in many instances, we're now seeing men being portrayed in dresses and told to be vulnerable and to basically behave and think like a woman. On the other hand, since at least the 1960s, there has been this push for women to be strong and independent and more masculine. So it's more of a perversion of the genders and just an all-out war on men. But the war usually begins in the head, and the man is the head. And so, of course, the attack begins there.
Okay, now I want to get more specific. What do you think of China censoring its media, all to avoid showing children music videos and movies where men are wearing earrings or other traditionally feminine characteristics? Do you think that's going too far?
Really, it comes down to the destruction of the family. And so part of what that war looks like is confusing the genders so that we don't get along very well, especially in the institution of marriage. So, for example, the pushing for the sexual revolution, per se, of the 1960s, where previous to contraception and sexual license, fornication, premarital sex, because we remained mostly chaste and had a greater respect for our bodies and sex, there was a greater respect for the institution of marriage, and thus marriage lasted. Also, this attack on the family has shown itself in the form of divorce. Prior to the so-called sexual revolution, the divorce wasn't as easily or highly looked upon as it is in the world today. Most marriages end in divorce today. I think it's close to 60, maybe 70% in many cases. So those are some of the ways in which you see this war being played out. There's an old saying that a man's home is his castle. Well, if you destroy the castle, i.e. the family, you destroy the home. So that's where we're really seeing it. And that's why there's men don't want to marry anymore, right? I can go into a rabbit hole with regard to that, but the game has been stacked against them. And so men are saying no now. They'll say yes to your sex, but no to marriage. And it's because of this destruction of the institution.
Now, how does it look different in the West versus in poorer or more traditional societies?
Feminism is what is the difference. You don't see too many women working outside the home in a non-traditional way. Meaning, in poorer countries, women are taking care of their babies. They're making babies. Let me put it that way. Women, men, families, they're not making babies anymore. We're sterilized. We're aborting our babies. We're told that the planet has too many people, or that you need a lot of money to have babies. All of these are lies that are, once again, an attack on the family. The poor countries, they're making babies. They're having lots of babies. And as a result, women are doing what women do great and best, which is be mothers, right? Now they say that men can be mothers too, and that's a little weird. But the difference is that you will see in these cultures, women will actually care for the home. They'll take care of the food, and they'll keep the house clean and take care of the baby. If the house is the container for the love of a family, it needs a caretaker. But in the West, women don't stay in the homes. Women are becoming, and you know, it's fine, but the actions have consequences. CEOs and entrepreneurs, and sending their babies off to daycare and putting them in indoctrination camps called schools, where, as opposed to traditional societies, the government's training our kids and the families are not. So therefore, there are no family values. The mother is the one that instills the family values into their children. But if the mother's not there and the kids are at daycare, well, then Disney World becomes the standard value structure for the culture. And we all know where that leads now, too.
Now, is it true testosterone is plummeting in Western men and men globally? Why is that? And what does it mean for our cultures and our families?
Well, it doesn't matter if I feel it or not. I can see it, and studies show it, right? So just in the general demeanor of men today, we see a bit of what would be called effeminacy, softness. And testosterone is a hardening hormone. That's why men physically are harder, but now we're literally becoming physically, mentally, emotionally softer. Just poke our bodies and you can see. Now, the studies have shown that this is the case. I'm a strength coach, so I see it in my clients. But studies have now shown that especially over the past 40 years or so, 30, 40 years, it has dropped like almost in half. The question why becomes, comes up, and it has to do with a lot of different things. It's multifaceted, right? The lifestyle choices that we're making, we're not out in nature as we once were. For the most part, when I grew up, kids were in the streets, riding bikes, playing in the sun, right? Going out and doing things, getting fresh air. Most kids today are at home, inside, staring at screens. And then the technology is another thing, right? So like, there's physiological damage associated with staring at screens all day long. Then you have the food. The food is laden with pesticides, and these are pesticides that are designed to sterilize pests, right? Well, if they're going to sterilize the pests and we eat them, there may be, and I'm not a scientist, but that may have some effect on our sex hormones also. Women are under attack also with all the chemicals in their makeup and their perfume and all the lotions and stuff like that. So once again, it's an attack on both sides. Testosterone levels are plummeting because of hormone disruptors, even in the water. So sexual revolution, thank you. We have birth control pills, right? So you can have all the sex that you want, no responsibility. Well, what they've discovered is that when women take birth control pills and they pee in the toilet, it gets into the water system and it cannot be filtered out. So what we end up having is public water, municipal water, laden with female hormones, right? Birth control hormones. Now, I'm not a scientist, right? And these are just things that I've read, right? So I'm not an expert. But if men are drinking water polluted with birth control pills, I think that might have an effect on testosterone. Then finally, I would say that there's a social attack just mainly through the media, the movies and the music and the screens. Men are no longer portrayed in a manly fashion in the way that maybe the John Waynes of the past once were. The heroes today are like that fat Kung Fu Panda, mostly usually just lazy fat dummies that become the heroes. And so kids aspire, like, you know, there was this new book series. I don't know, it's not very new, it's a couple of years ago, but like the Diary of the Wimpy Kid. Like, I don't know, I'm not that old, but when I grew up, nobody would want to watch that. What boy would want to go watch the Diary of the Wimpy Kid? But now it's like, oh, the Diary of the Wimpy Kid is the greatest thing to go watch. I was watching He-Man. I wanted to see big muscle men that I could grow up to be. That had an impact on my psyche and made me wanted to be a strength coach, right? What are we teaching our kids? To be wimpy kids? I don't know. And so maybe that has something to do with it too.
After the break, we're going to continue our discussion about toxic masculinity and where females play a role.
The sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines is back in the headlines in a big way. American and German media hint that some so-called pro-Ukraine group might have been behind the attack. Little evidence was provided. Is the West starting to have second thoughts about the Kyiv regime?
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
We will bring to the Iraqi people food and medicines and supplies. And freedom, 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 freedom.
We are talking about the war on masculinity and how it will impact feminism and possibly also elections worldwide. So to discuss, we want to bring back in our guest, life and coach commentator, Elliot Hulse. Elliot, you know, you speak a lot about feminism. Tell us, in your opinion, what is feminism, and does it have any role to play in the discussion we are having?
Feminism is an attack on the family. It's an attack on femininity, and it's an attack on masculinity. It's a perversion of gender roles. It's completely a Marxist fabrication, because in order to subvert the West, they have to create class warfare. So in order to have class warfare, you have to make somebody feel like they're getting the shit end of the stick. Women prior to the so-called sexual revolution, women's suffrage, and feminism loved being women. Most women today who are on pills and who are depressed and have to go see psychologists and are drinking way too much wine or taking medication because of their mental illness, if they just look two generations ago at their great-grandmothers were quote-unquote oppressed, but they were happy people. They did what they wanted to do and what they did really well, which was bear children. You know, women today are miserable because they're not making babies too. That's part of it. A thing that doesn't fulfill its purpose is a thing that is not going to be happy. Let me put it that way. A person that doesn't fulfill their purpose, I don't say thing, is not going to be happy. So feminism is a lie. It makes women hate being women. It makes women hate men. It hates women. It makes women hate the babies in their bellies. And it hates, and it teaches women to eschew the family, hate the family. Engels was one of Marx's buddies who said that the family was the most oppressive, you know, social structure. How could a family be an oppressive social structure when its bond is in love? But, you know, these people are nuts.
Do you think this war on masculinity impacts who we choose as political leaders and rulers over us? And do you think it governs what our political class sees as important issues they need to solve?
I think I recently read a study about how most college-educated white women who are single and childless are leading the Democratic Party. Like, it just tells you exactly. So by splitting the family, they were able to split the vote, and they were able to then promote values that were antithesis to the unity of the family. So in other words, when women didn't vote, a family had a vote. That's the way I like to think of it. A family had a vote, because in a home, you'd imagine that there would be unified virtue, unified values, right? What family would have a husband and a wife have different values? Well, one in which they're allowed to go out into the world and promote different values. But if they knew that one family has one vote, then they would be on the same page. So women voting is another attack on the family, but then it has its social and political ramifications, because like I just said, the Joe Bidens of the world only get where they are because mostly middle-aged white single women who are strong and independent, but yet need guys like Biden to give them the right to kill their babies, get put in place. Men don't vote for that kind of stuff. Like I said, the only way men vote for stuff like that is because they've become weakened by their lust for women's sex. And if women can kill their babies, they're going to be a bunch of dudes that say, hey, that's great. That means I can have sex without repercussion. So those guys are like women too.
Now, where do you see this leading in the future? Could a destruction of traditional masculine values be the destruction of feminism as well? You know, we have athletes like biological male swimmer Leah Thomas who are dominating against their female contenders.
No, going too far means putting boys in dresses and telling them that they could be pregnant and cutting off their dick so that they can feel good about themselves. That's going too far. Telling men to be men and turning away the perverted Western media is basically what they're doing, means in my mind, they're preparing for war. See, societies don't need men until they're ready to use us as fodder for fire. And so I don't know if America is asleep or we're deeply subverted, but it's very evident, and it has been said that China is the next new world superpower. Well, how does that happen? The same way America became a world superpower. Prior to the sexual revolution, men were actually men. And you just see it in the movies, in the media, and they none of them were wearing dresses. This wearing of dresses has been very slow and sneaky in our culture too. It started very simply with guys like Robin Williams playing Miss Doubtfire. Oh, that's funny. And then you see, you know, all the black comedians dressing up like girls. Oh, it's funny. Next thing you know, you're telling your kids that they need to wear dresses in school. And if a kid's wearing dress in school, you can't say nothing, then you're a racist. So all I see when China says that they want their boys to be men is they're wanting to be natural. They're wanting to be normal. They're wanting to be dominant in the world as a result.
So how do we fight against it? Tell us about the work you do, empowering men to embrace their masculinity, and what the benefits are for those individuals, as well as the broader communities in which they live.
The fight against this is to speak up. This is why I don't know if I was a fan of the guy that said it, but the pen is mightier than the sword. He was right. And that's why the First Amendment must be defended. The thing is that people, number one, it's not being defended, and they're, because we live in literal fascism where we're run by corporations and they're the ones that make the rules about who gets to say what and who gets to do what. That's wrong. But it's sort of a self-censorship that we're experiencing where most conservatives won't speak up. You got to be able to, it's so crazy that the people who are most perverted are most proud in their language. They can say any crazy perverted thing they want, but you must be silenced if you believe in the truth. That's how crazy it is. So you know that we're at end times because it's so diabolically disoriented. Crazy. So they're so proud in their craziness, but we're so weak in our willingness to speak. So that's the way it begins. There's a great work done, drawing a blank right now, but a man who studied mass movements. That might even be the name of the book. Mass movements. And it always follows a pattern for things to happen. And that means you have to have men of words. You know, we as men, we tend to think of action first, and sometimes that's why we blow our load. But you got to think words first. It's a war of words. It's a war of words. That's why the word words come from spells. I don't think there's a mistake that we spell words because it hypnotizes you. And if you're not aware that these words are going to put spells on you, just look at how the language has changed in the last few years. They're making up words, fake words. They're changing the definition of words. You can't say certain words without being canceled or censored or hurting somebody's feelings. So it's a war on words. It's a war of words. We got to be willing to say what needs to be said without being afraid that somebody's going to be upset.
Thank you, Elliot, for joining us for a fascinating conversation. You know, modern day masculinity should be defined by traits like authenticity, having integrity, and care for himself and those around him. These are integral to how a man should perceive himself and where he fits into the world today. Now, prior generations prioritized physical strength, power, and influence. But the core justification for all of these comes down to the need to protect and to provide. These are just a few of the characteristics of what modern-day men should strive to be. Now, society might change, but the core concepts should never, if a society wants to continue through the challenges of time. Change can be for the good. It would be comical to think the same characteristics which were developed for survival in the wild or in a less developed society would still be needed today in a time where almost every need can be satisfied with a click of a button. But was there ever a problem in the first place? You know, the same traits which allowed men to help protect, provide, and contribute to a developing society in the past are the same traits being demonized today. To have these traits could give you the label of toxic and make you the villain of your own environment. But that is only if you happen to be born a man. Oddly, many of the same characteristics which are being vilified in boys are being pushed to be displayed by girls. Now, in reverse, the same elements which were attributed to being a female are being encouraged to be displayed by the boys. Now, I consider myself a feminist. However, I can empower young girls and fight for their future without diminishing the opposite sex. And in no way am I defending the traits which bad men possess. But it is not the trait which should be held at fault, but rather the man himself. And this is not specific to the male gender only. If we really want to have this honest conversation about toxic masculinity, then we must also discuss toxic feminism. However, publicly, it's less popular to say. There are bad elements of the female sex, and we wouldn't want to offend anyone. That would be considered toxic. This is all about continuing to create an environment of confusion, confusing the roles which were given to civilization at birth and come with innate characteristics as proven by the thousands of years of existence will only weaken a society. One thing throughout history which is constant, the weak never survive. And while some say their goal is to end the toxic traits of men as defined by the present woke crowd, I say this is a continued race to weaken the family union with the hope of final destruction. A day which will not be good for anyone, regardless of their gender. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.